And welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and I am sounding crisp today, I am told. And joining me today, of course, is Wario Will.
Jeez, how much going to ride on that compliment? And yeah, just this past week has been quite hectic. I mean, has anyone here seen the Post Malone concert?
Which we will talk about that.
How many minutes? Jeez.
It was something. It was something. Okay, it was something. And of course, Tellius Tyler.
Todd, if it makes you feel a little bit more humble, I just think you sound different. I wouldn't necessarily say better.
Ouch. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long time since I've gotten to say this. Challenger approaching! Because for the first time in a while, we have a guest here, and a brand new guest even. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you my friend, Nessa Vanessa.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, that was a little more basic than I was going for, but okay then. But Nessa Vanessa and I met at Comic-Con a couple of years back. It was actually at a Pokemon Comic-Con of all things, which is very appropriate given our podcast today. We were meeting Veronica Taylor, the original voice of Ash, and we kind of connected after that and stayed online. So please, Nessa, detail yourself and your Nintendo love to the world.
Oh my goodness. So basically, I've been into Nintendo my entire life. I basically grew up like playing like the original Nintendo, like watching my cousins play. And then eventually when I got a little older, I got to own my own Super Nintendo at that time. And ever since then, I play almost every Mario game out there. I know in the last 5 years lately, like I kind of like, it's been kind of a little iffy because like I kind of took some time off, but only once the Switch came off that, I mean, once the Switch came back on that, I kind of jumped back into more playing games, but it's been kind of a little bit slow for me lately because like I'm actually, I go to school and everything. So it's been kind of a little busy for me, but whenever in my downtime, I tried to play some games whenever I can.
Well, I have two questions for you then.
Sure.
One A, have you played Mario Odyssey?
I have, yes.
Mm-hmm. Which kingdom is your favorite?
Oh.
So my favorite Mario Odyssey game level was actually the end for me with the whole Bowser and Peach wedding. I actually loved that touch. That was probably like one of my favorites. I kind of always loved like the whole suit thing, so I always kind of thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I'm surprised. That's a good pick. I like it. I thought you were going to go with like the Sand Kingdom or some straightforward answer like mm-hmm. that. So I like the Moon Kingdom. That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. And then my follow-up question is, what is your favorite Nintendo console of all time?
Mm. Nintendo console? Ooh.
That's a good one.
I'm going to be honest. I got to like more, I guess, the old school gaming. So I love like the Super Nintendo.
Okay,
like
my favorite okay,
as well.
Okay,
respect.
Mm-hmm.
All
right, yeah, we'll... super. Because so especially right now, how on the Switch they have like the online, so I'm like super excited to play all those old games I grew up on. So,
oh, Naruto.
Will, do you have any Nintendo themed questions for our guest?
I guess this is kind of a basic one. Like, which kind of going into the next segment, but like, what's your favorite current Switch game currently right now in this generation?
My favorite Switch game currently, ooh. Like, that's a tough one for me, actually. I have to think for a second. The games
it's probably Bravely like, Default 2. I mean,
oh, stop it. Stop it.
I'm going to be, at least for, I think for me, though, one of my favorites, it was Pokemon Sword and Shield for me.
Oh.
It's probably. Because even though the game's not perfect and everything like that, but I actually had so much fun with the online play with my friends online, and then we get to raid and everything together. So I actually love the online features, and I kind of remember when I was first playing this game, I was basically stuck in the wild area. I was literally there for hours trying to catch every single Pokemon.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was like, yeah. And then I was sitting, and I remember, I think, another group of my friends, I was, they were looking at me crazy when I told them, like, I already caught 100 Pokemon, and I have not gotten my first gym badge yet.
Yeah.
Gotta catch them all.
I can see that.
So yeah, they looked at me like, oh my god. I was like, the wild area is so much fun. I was like, I didn't think I was going to have that much fun in so many years.
Yeah.
Grookey Gang, of course. Grookey Gang.
Yeah, who's your starter?
It was Score Buddy.
Boom! Score Buddy squad!
Come on.
See, that's why she's my friend. All right, then my Nintendo theme question will be, what is your favorite Nintendo franchise all time?
My favorite Nintendo franchise? It'll be Mario.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right. So, now that we have all been introduced, we got a very interesting show for you tonight. So, I'll start off with, what have you been playing? And Nessa, since you are our arriving guest, please tell people what you have been playing recently.
I know the last two games I played, earlier this year, I downloaded Cuphead.
Excellent.
The only reason I downloaded Danke, because one of my other friends was streaming it on his stream channel, our Twitch channel, and then I remember, I was like, what is this game? Because I love the cartoon, like, from the 1930s, that kind of caught my attention, and it was like, and then it was so cool seeing, like, how it's like, they're playing someone in the 30s, and then, like, I mean, anime like this, so it got me playing, but I still haven't beaten the game yet, but I remember the gameplay was so much fun, so that was, like, one of the few games I'm still working on right now, and then there was another game that was on the Super Nintendo online Switch.
Okay.
From, I believe it was, there was a game I used to play like an N64, and then I was like, and they were saying, oh yeah, this is actually the upgraded version from the Super Nintendo at the time. I was like, trying to remember what was the name of that game, because it was like, they were saying originally it was from like Pokemon Puzzle League. But then it was actually the predecessor. Oh, Panier de Pont, that's what it's called.
That's right. They released that recently.
Yeah, Panier de Pont, yeah. So I discovered it like on accident, and I was like, wait a minute, this game looks so much like Pokemon Puzzle League, because it had the exact same blocks and everything. So I got to, everything's in Japanese, so I'm just pressing any menu, whatever like they have. And then, and sure enough, it was exactly what I remembered. And it was kind of cool to get to play the predecessor. And then I kind of got hooked on it for hours trying to beat my high score. So
nice. Mm-hmm.
I remember Pokemon Puzzle League. That was actually one of the first games I got for the N64. So,
oh
yeah, it was a great Christmas.
Oh my God. And Pokemon Puzzle League, I have so many memories. And
boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Will, since you know what me and Tyler are going to be talking about and arguing about, please, why don't you go next?
Well, I mean, aside from what you two have been playing, I mean, for me, it's not really generally a surprise. Naturally, I have been continuing my adventures in Persona 5 Strikers for PS4. And yeah, just having a bit more time to it, I'm currently at the second jail right now. And overall, I mean, I pretty much said this last time. Overall, if you have knowledge of the previous game, you would definitely benefit more in this spinoff. And personally for me, I just enjoy, like, traveling, being with these characters once again, just because, like, again, you spend more time with them. You spend so much, like, 100 hours plus in the original game, so why not spend a bit more time in this spinoff? I guess that's kind of the reason why Alice always, like, unfortunately, cash out these franchises, sadly, but again, what is more time with them, so what's not to love? And of course, going to the characters, I mean, Yusuke is just that eccentric artist that, you know, like, yeah, his character is definitely one of definitely a good highlight in the second jail. So yeah, just continue on with Persona 5 Strikers. And of course, naturally continue on with Faye, which we're gonna be having a new banner coming tomorrow at the time of recording. And yeah, who would thought that we're gonna get more blue houses representation and just Marianne, Dadu, Ingrid, and just like more Three Houses characters.
Linhart.
Yeah, Linhart, thank you. Yeah, it's like, okay, get ready until obviously the Choose a Legend battle in the late summer, which, again, I'm right now just piling up orbs right now, so that's what I'm just currently waiting for right now, and yeah, overall, just can't wait to see what's going to happen in the next few banners, so yeah, just continue grinding on Faye and Persona 5 Strikers, so overall, nothing too new for the time being right now.
Hey, Nessa.
Yes?
Have you ever played a Persona game?
Personally, I have not, but I have watched one of my friends stream. He was streaming on Persona 4 like every Saturdays for a while.
Wow. See,
so I watched him play it.
All right. Well, it's just like me and Will are one of many fans who want Persona 5 on Switch, and yet all we got was Strikers. So we're just like, if Persona 5 came onto Switch, would you want to play it?
I was like, it probably depends, though. It depends, though. It's like for a lot of things. So if one, if I have time, and two, if it's like very enjoyable, then I more likely would try it.
I'm gonna mark her down as a yes.
I mean, personally, I highly recommend the Persona series. Like any entry 3, 4, 5, I highly recommend it if you can. Yeah.
All right, so I will go first because as the person who's actually going to review Bravely Default 2, I will give, of course, the true, unbiased, and correct opinion on this game.
Oh, boy.
There we go. Yeah, so yes, I did indeed get Bravely Default 2 thanks to our dear leader, King Koopa Keith, and I am enjoying it for the most part. The graphics were much better than I anticipated, and the cutscenes that they do are surprisingly detailed. And in a very, very cinematic way, I would say. The story is deep. I really like it. There's like a lot of both main characters and side characters, and even like one-off characters that still have a overall role in the game to play. The lore is very rich, and I always appreciate that as a story guy. The combat, it will take you a little while to get used to between the Brave system and the Default system. It's different from Octopath, so I gotta make that clear. If you've only played Octopath but not played Bravely like I have, you are going to have to adjust your expectations in how you play the game. My problem is that clearly the game has a focus on how it wants you to play. Part of it is the job system, which honestly is very customizable. Every character can have a main job and a sub job, opening up all sorts of creative options and how you want to do battle. But even early on in the game, if you don't level up a proper way, you're going to get smoked. All right. Like in early battles, you get a side character named Sir Sloan, and he does like 1,000 damage with every hit, and you're barely cracking 100. And this guy's helping you mow down enemies and giving you Phoenix downs to revive you. And I was grateful to him. And then once he was gone, I was on my own and I was kind of screwed for a bit, especially after I had to deal with this idiot named Orpheus who just wouldn't shut up. My gosh. And his singing voice sucks. And I say that as an actual good singer. But that was a joke. Thank you. But I had to like really level up to get. I even had to ask a certain someone how to beat him because he apparently had like an easy time. So I'm like, what am I doing differently than he?
Could be anybody.
Could be anybody. But I am almost to the end of chapter 2 right now. I haven't been able to play as much as I want to because of work, but I've been getting at least a good 2 or so hours in every night. And I finally had an easy-ish boss fight last night, and it was I got him in one try, and it was Bernard.
He
wasn't so bad, but that's like 3 or 4 boss fights in, and finally I had an easy one. I'm like that's kind of a problem. So I'm still enjoying the game, and now that I'm learning how it kind of wants me to play, and I've gotten certain other job classes, I feel that I will be advancing at least a little easier, and I'm keeping more of a mind to things like how I can improve my character's stats and the equipment they get, the spells they learn, and the abilities and everything. So it's still a fun game, but I was a little overwhelmed in the beginning, and it did affect my experience to where I was like raging after I had a boss character down to like 100 health, and I knew that she could counter me, so I was making sure my team was healed up, and then she countered me anyway off of doing the heal. I'm like, how does that work? So, and like, I almost
wow.
I know, and I almost threw this my Switch against the wall. Almost. Almost. Alright. So, yeah, but I am enjoying the game overall. It is very, very fun. It is very, very deep, and there is a lot of strategy to be had, but there is a certain level of dedication you have to put into this game, and I think that will overwhelm some players. And now for the incomplete, totally biased, get good response. Here is Tyler.
because I also am reviewing this game actually for a magazine that's coming out. I believe it's an Upstart magazine, but it will. My review, I think, is a little bit more positive than yours because I've experienced the first two games, so I'm used to the Bravely systems, and that's, I think, systems is the word to describe this game because there are so many systems that work together. And if you're if you're not focusing on all of them and trying to create this perfect harmony with your team, you're going to struggle. I'm playing on hard mode, and the game is not easy for sure. Like, I've lost 3 or 4 times to bosses, and I hate that they talk smack to you when they beat you. That's infuriating. But the joy of this game is the customization options for your party. Every single character has the same base stats, which it may sound like, oh, every character is bland, but it's not like that at all. You can make any character whatever you want with no punishment. And so you can get as creative as you possibly want. As your imagination is the limit, along with the skills that each job offers. So for me, I found a ton of just joy in staring at the character menus and just trying to figure out, okay, how can I create this optimal team? And then seeing that optimal team that I created just start running through dungeons and running through bosses is so satisfying. And I think another cool kind of element to the character progression is the choices you make in the very beginning of the game when you only have 1 or 2 or 3 classes will actually impact your characters down the road. So, for example, I have my Adele. She's one of your party members. Started out as a vanguard for me, and I used my 2 male characters as mages. Eventually, she became a beastmaster, and she learned this skill called spearfaring for like getting up to level 10 as a beastmaster. Once I unlocked the shield bearer class, one of the skills allows you to attack first if you're wielding a spear. So she was best equipped to be a shield master because she was able to act first, even though it's a slow class, she could protect my party. So it's a kind of long-term planning as well as short-term planning that makes the character progression so satisfying. And I think that's the best part of the game. The combat system is very fun. It's very original. But the character progression is what's best. I actually don't like the story as much as you do. I think the story is a little slow. I'm literally 50 hours in. I played this game for 50 hours. It came out last Friday. It's really not healthy.
No, it's not.
And I'm only on the very beginning of Chapter 3 because there's a lot of side content that I'm trying to get through. But the story just kind of putzed along for me. There's not, like, we're out to find these crystals, and the characters are fine, but nothing too special, and the overall narrative hasn't gelled in a cohesive way. There's been, like, a few reveals that were supposed to, like, hit, and they really didn't quite hit, which is a shame, because the first two games I thought had really fun stories, so maybe this one will turn it around. I just entered this town, and I believe it seems like it's about to start picking up based on Bravely Default lore. Fairies are coming into play, and fairies are an important part of any Bravely Default story. So we shall see how that goes. But I'm loving this game. Honestly, it's going to be hard to knock it off for Game of the Year for me. To me, this is, for me, so far, this has been a 10 out of 10 game. I'm addicted to it.
Dang.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
We didn't even disagree that much. Like, I
a little bit.
I think what? The game is hard for sure if you don't dedicate yourself to mastering its systems, which I'm not saying you haven't.
Oh, no, I haven't. I'm comfortable in saying that. That's kind of like my problem is that, like you said, like, you know, if you're trying to like find harmony within your party, because that's the thing, like early on in the game, and you might remember this, they told you don't put all the same class on your characters, and one of the first things you told him was you should have like all vanguards. And, like,
no,
did
I never said that.
You did. Yeah, you said a variation
no,
on
no,
that.
No. I didn't mean that. If that's what you interpreted, that's not what I meant at
well,
all.
Don't worry. I didn't do it. Like, classes. Why would I listen to you, Tyler? Gosh, come on. No. but like, I'm trying to find balance, and it's like not working. And then you know, I was fighting on casual, and I was losing. And then you're on hard, and you're saying you've only lost like 3 or 4 times. I've lost 3 or 4 times against Orpheus. It's yeah. like, what was
Orpheus
I?
Was tough. Orpheus pushed me for sure. He didn't beat me, but he pushed me. The first boss that I lost to is this gambler boss. And this was infuriating. This was a quick story. So the gambler class is what it sounds like. You roll a roulette wheel, and whatever number you land on, you'll do that number of attacks. She rolls this wheel, and if she does a special attack with a random element, depending on what she continually would hit light and 10, and it does like 250 damage per hit, but 10 hits. So it's just like pow, 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 pow. And she would do it multiple times per turn with the brave mechanic, and she wiped me twice with just like RNG. It was infuriating. It was infuriating. That was my throw the switch moment. Plus, there's a card game in this as well that's actually pretty fun, a little mini game. And you have to beat her before you play the boss. So I had to beat her in the card game like three times because I lost to her twice, and it was frustrating. Only negative experience.
And from what I can tell, like last I checked, I believe that boss is actually optional.
Yeah, she's an optional boss.
She is optional, yeah. But it's the gambler class is fun. You get some nice additional skills. That's the thing. The skills are it's just so satisfying to go ahead and look at all the skills that you'll unlock for mastering a job, and then thinking, oh, that'll couple nicely with this one, like the spear work and the shield master class. It just created this powerful combination that only Adele could do, even though her stats are exactly the same as everybody else's, and it made it like just seeing it in practice and chewing through this dungeon where my team just kept getting stronger instead of withering down and being like, oh, we got to go back to town to heal. It was just like, oh, we're better after this battle. Oh, we're better after this battle. Oh, we're better after this battle. And it's great to see it come to life. Your ideas really, the game reacts to what you're trying to get it to do.
Well, hopefully by next week I will have a much more positive, not overwhelming, throw my switch at the wall experience, but we shall see. All right, so aside from Bravely, it's honestly been a very busy week at with Nintendo and everything going on. So we're actually going to forego the more standard news segment and talk about both the Pokemon Presents and the Mr. Sakurai Presents, because it's time for some Direct Talk! And so obviously, we're going to get started with what happened last Friday, which was the Pokemon Presents event, where we finally got the news that we've all been waiting for on Pokemon and what else is coming out this year game-wise. So I want to start off first, but not about the games, but about the presentation. The opening of the Presents did a literal rewind the clock of 1996 and then showing year by year what was given to the Pokemon franchise, from the games to the cards to the anime. And I don't know about you, but as I'm watching it, I'm going, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. Oh, did you remember that? And then I swear to you guys, and I promise our viewers, I am not making this up. By the end of the video, I am crying my eyes out because I'm like, this is so beautiful. I remember like all of this. Like, I got to experience it all. I've been here all 25 years, which yes means I'm very old. Stop making fun of me. it was a beautiful. Like, did you guys like it as much as I did? Tears optional.
So yeah, like watching that thing, just like how go through. I mean, again, we pretty much were at the beginning, the genesis of Pokemon, and like from the original, like the Japanese games from Pokemon Red and Green to the localization of Blue and Red is just like, wow, it's been that long already. I still remember the time when I actually got Hey You Pikachu, and I thought that thing was amazing. And the e-reader cards, just all that. And now, like, oh my god, how many years has it? Yeah, 25 years plus. It's like, wow, I am old, we are old, like, now what other generation is going to be? Like, are the kids going to respect our origins, or are they going to be young whippersnappers?
No, they won't respect us. Don't lie to yourself, Will. They won't never know the pleasure that we've had. What about you, Ness? Did you like that little opening video that they did?
I did, though. It was pretty cool. Like, it was actually pretty cool how they started out, like, we go up through time. And I'm, like, the same way, too. I do remember when Pokemon first came out, of how it was that huge Pokemania everywhere. And then going back with, like, some of these, like, commercials and some of the show. I was just like, oh, my God. I just can't believe it. There was something I did question a couple segment parts with the dating, because I was like I could have sworn it came either earlier or later. Like, I don't know, but I guess they weren't even trying too hard with the dates, the exact years, but But I actually thought it was really cool, though. I wasn't expecting it to be like about 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty long because I was like, oh, damn. They really went back.
Yeah.
And and it was, yeah.
Well, you know, with key moments, you got to catch them all. And now for the contrarian response, Tyler.
No, it was nice. I will say it was too long for me. Like,
it was a little long.
It was like 5 minutes.
It was. Yeah, I was honestly worried because I'm like, wait a minute, this is a 20-minute video, or this is a 20-minute presentation, and it's 5 minutes in, and we're just celebrating Pokemon. I'm like, we get it. So.
No, I felt the same way too. Like 5 minutes, I'm like, damn. Like that's already like. So it's gonna be just 15 minutes of footage. That's it.
Like, right.
All right. So following that, we had an even greater look at new Pokemon Snap, which is obviously gonna be my game of the year, Tyler. Obviously. So no, but we got to see a better view. It was the Lentil region.
Yeah, there's a lot of photo puns, if anything else.
Yeah, the Lentil region. And I must admit that I really liked this little deep dive because we got to see, honestly, not just Pokemon Snap in its natural habitat, pun intended, but like the advances. Like, I love that we can actually post our photos online for others to see. Like, that's a really simple yet interactive feature that I think is fun. And the photo editing. I think that'll be a lot of fun because, you know, people are going to want to try and get, like, you know, unique poses and try and, like, write little, like, memes into it. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And making the Pokemon glow.
Yes,
like,
yes,
that,
yes.
That was that was really unique. Like, I thought they were just, like, a you know, another kind of special Pokemon. Like, oh, this kind of Pokemon glows in its habitat. No, you make it glow. You make them shine, baby! So... But yeah, I'm very excited for this game. I really am because I noticed in a previous podcast, but I think this will just be a nice, relaxing experience. You know, no RPG systems to master, or you know, having to balance.
Why
like,
did I feel? I feel like that was pointed at me for some reason.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Tyler, as the host, I am insulted. But no, but like there's not like a lot of complications here. It's just, you know, lining up the shot, being patient, trying to get Pokemon to interact with you, and then taking the shot. Like, I feel like that's gonna be so relaxing and just gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just like seeing the entire like demonstration, of course, like again with the different items, the Pokéflute being back in action, just how it is with the natural habitat, with the, also like the Alolan Raichu, what they surfing, like that was pretty nice.
That was,
and of course,
cool.
Changing the illuminate Pokemon's changing score bunnies flame into blue is like, okay, this is definitely gonna be an interesting. Definitely gotta get the creative juices flowing for people's photographs. So just like how it is, as I said, it's pretty, it's simple, it's very. Simple but deep. That's the perspective. It's great, but it's simple but deep. So yeah, personally for me, I definitely want to try this thing out myself as well. Yes.
Tyler?
Yeah, you know, it looks really good. I thought this was the most impressive game in the show, honestly. Just like
hot
visual
take.
Yeah,
hot take.
It's the one I'm most excited for. I know it's also the soonest, so that's a big reason as well. But I actually never played the original Pokemon Snap, so this will be kind of a new experience for me, and that's another reason I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I only got to play it because a friend of mine who was like rich, he had it, and so I would try and play it every time I was over there. Not because the main character's name was Todd. No, not at all.
Right.
Right. So, but I remember, and like I even like just watching them show the gameplay footage, like, you know, being on rails, I was getting that feeling of the original Snap, but like with much better graphics. And yeah, again, the details, I think they're just gonna be so much fun with the pictures. So what about you, Nessa?
I was like, I actually really liked it a lot. I was like the only concern I have is like I'm kind of wondering how much of like gameplay is gonna be in that game, because I was not liking the price tag. So like for $60. So.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Because I, you know, because I remember original Pokemon Snap, it wasn't that long. It was pretty, you could basically beat the game pretty quick. I remember within maybe two, 3 hours at most.
Yeah.
So if it's like something like that, then I probably would not get it, because it's like, I wanted my money to worth, like, if it's like at least maybe 10 to 12 hours, I was like, okay, maybe a little, at least there's a lot to do, but it was this like very short, then that's like the only thing I'm slightly concerned. But I did like the graphics, the new gimmicks they were showing off. The glowing nose, obviously my favorite, because I kind of like the night
the whole night scene, especially when it glows, I always been attracted to it. Yeah. And so I thought it was, so that was probably like my favorite part of the segment there. And also, I was happy to see my favorite Pokemon on there, Raichu. So I was like, yay! I'm like,
okay. Like Alolan Raichu.
Alolan Raichu, yes.
Yeah, surfs up. But no, your point is valid, Nessa, and we actually talked about that when new Pokemon Snap was announced, because they noted that, I believe they said there was like 200 some odd Pokemon in the game. Mm-hmm. So that's still three times more than the original Pokemon Snap, which had like less than 70, I believe.
Yeah.
So there is more, but your point is valid. This is definitely going to be, I feel like, a completionist game, because if you recall, there's a ranking system of the photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people are definitely going to want to get like 5 stars of like all the Pokemon, and want to get like Celebi and a whole bunch of different shots and everything, like obviously sharing them online. So I definitely feel this would be a game that you don't play all in one session, but like play like over time, just to like kind of milk the experience, if you will, I think. So, and I still think there's going to be DLC with extra islands of Pokemon. I don't know for sure, obviously, but with Nintendo going big on their DLC as of late, I definitely see them doing that. So we'll just have to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, any final thoughts, or are we going to move on?
I don't know. I think we've talked enough.
That's moving on. So, ladies and gentlemen, we can finally, officially, superbly, epically, royally confirm that yes, we are finally getting the Diamond and Pearl remasters. You're welcome. No, seriously, like, how long has this rumor been going on? Like years.
Yes.
Years.
I don't think at least almost eight years. I want to say.
Really?
Wow.
So, but
because ever since Omega Ruby and Sapphire came out, then people were like, "Oh, we're gonna get Gen 4 remakes," and like, I kept hearing it for so long.
Yeah, like, I remember it specifically during like Sun and Moon, and then Sun and Shield or Sword and Shield, because they're like, "This is it. This is what we're getting him. This is the time. It makes sense." So, but no, we're getting him now here on the Switch. The first remasters on the Switch for Pokemon. Not including Pokemon Tournament DX, obviously.
Remaster is a bit of a stretch.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
It's a bit of a stretch. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
carry on.
Let's get with the description before we get to the controversy of your statement, okay? So, but yes, Diamond and Pearl, now called Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Okay. But yes, these are the versions that we are getting, and they are going to be just what you expect. They are remasters. They have the Sword and Shield graphic system, kind of, sort of, at least in terms of the Pokemon battles. The overworld is much more in the style of technically Link's Awakening, but it's not actually Link's Awakening, because it's less chibi, and a lot of people have noted they actually put like a side-by-side graphic. It's basically a 3D version of the models from the 2D games. Like, they did try to do like a one-to-one representation, just what it would look like in 3D versus like what they've done with Link's Awakening, where they just, you know, completely revamped it but kept the style overall. So we know how someone feels about that, but we'll get to that in a bit. But I'm fine with this. I mean, I'm curious about how they're going to handle certain things like Giratina, because as we all know, Platinum was the superior version of the game. But I'm curious to see how this goes. I liked what I saw. I thought the graphics were fine. and I'm not saying that to upset a certain someone named Nessa. Kidding. But I think it's fine. And honestly, we've waited long enough for these. I mean, we'll get Unova eventually, and then they should just stop, because then we enter the 3D realm of X and Y, and we don't need a remaster of that. at least not yet. But I'm fine with
10 years from now.
We'll, yeah. the Nintendo Extreme Switch, when that comes out in 4K, but with holograms. But yeah, I'm fine with this. So yeah, Will, your thoughts?
Yeah, when I saw that part of the trailer, like, okay, finally we got something, and obviously everyone in the internet is basically mean, oh, look at Libby Chibi Dawn, oh, look at that model, she's so cute, she's so small, and like, okay, yeah, definitely referencing all of the original games, so like, yeah, that upscale, quote-unquote, people will argue that the models, I mean, the game, it looks pretty, it looks shiny, it has a new coat of paint of, like, the original games, so, okay, so they aren't technically wrong, so there's that. Of course, we're going to different Pokemon, the different trainers, like, well, the same thing with the trainers, like, it seems, because and unfortunately I never did play Diamond and Pearl, so I can't really reference it too much, but how they just presented it all, I was like, okay, not too bad. I mean, if I have a chance, I probably would try it out, but so far it doesn't really like grab me, to say the least, as I'm not really much of a Pokemon fan. Sorry guys, but overall it seems pretty solid. It seems pretty solid for the most part. Yes,
Nessa.
I've actually thought it was okay for me, the when I first saw the game, I was like, okay, cool, I was like, everyone who, the Diamond Pearl people got their wish, they got their remakes. I kind of, my first thoughts though was actually, I was like, wait a minute, I was like, it kind of reminds me of the Zelda Link Awakening that you mentioned, so that was like my first thought when I saw the character models. And if the only thing I was like, also the second thing I was thinking, I was like, I hope it's like you mentioned, it's the better version of Diamond and Pearl from the Platinum, because there was a lot to do more on Platinum. I kind of remember when I played the original Diamond and Pearl games, like it felt so long, especially when you had to go to between like, I believe to like Orberg to, and then to the next town, Azalea, like it was just like so damn long. So I don't know how that, if they're going to do any changes from there, or it's going to be like the exact game to be gameplay, or if they're going to add any new features. So like, but so far what I've seen so far, I'm still like, it's cool though. I'm not 100% convinced, but it's cool.
Okay. Tyler.
Yeah. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This looks terrible. the visuals look terrible. The game itself, I'm sure, is going to be fun. It's a Pokemon game. Pokemon games are fun. That's just a fact. I think the Link's Awakening comparison a lot of people made, and to me, you put those two side by side, Link's Awakening is vibrant. It's got like a chibi kind of art style for sure. But it's very colorful and very bright. Diamond and Pearl look dark, a little too muted, not as vibrant, just a little more dull. And I think that they went in this direction. They outsourced this game, right?
Yeah, it's the same people who made Pokemon Home. This time around.
Yeah, which is kind of an odd thing. Can we just note that? Like, that just sounded like, hey, the other people made Pokemon Home. I'm like, that's not a game?
That was weird. I was like, okay, cool, they made Pokemon Home. But I believe that that's why it looks this way, is that they thought, well, we'll give it to a different team. They'll be able to do something a little simpler with it. And, you know, we'll get it out there and people will buy it. My biggest problem is, and again, Pokemon games are fun. If people want to buy this game, go right ahead. I might buy this game. Pokemon games are fun. But you only get a remake one time, you know, unless you're Kanto and then you get 100 remakes. But you only get one shot. And, like, to me, this visual style it's a missed opportunity. I would have loved to see Sinnoh reimagined in this beautiful, even in a Pokemon Sword and Shield type of style. Like, it would have been cool to see it in a whole new way. And instead, it feels like a... Do I really even need to buy it on Switch? I could just buy it on DS and go on my merry way. That's, you know, as a hater, that's my hater.
Hater! Nah, it's fine. And to be fair to Tyler, he was not the only person who thought that. There was like a serious internet debate going on Twitter. It's like, does this look good? Is it actually going to look good? Like, we don't know. But I will remind Tyler of what he said about Bravely Default 2, because both he and I, after seeing the first Bravely trailer, we're like, is this actually going to look good on Switch? And then we were blown away.
It looks amazing. Like, on my TV, on the big screen, I can't believe how good that game looks. But the problem is, Pokemon, we've said it before. We said it like four times now that, I think they'll turn the graphics around, and then it releases the way it looked. They don't have a lot of time.
Oh, actually, but they do, though, because all we know is that it's coming out in the latter half of 2021, which means they have months of polish ahead of them.
Yeah, months sound like a lot, but, like, you know how long development cycles are. They do. They're very long.
Go. I kind of remember when Sword and Shield came out, and I remember people complained so much about the graphics. Also, it looked really crappy. like in the from the trailers, but then I think when the games did get released, it looked a little bit more better polished because people were like complaining like, oh my god, the trees are horrible. That was like the biggest thing I kept seeing, and then like the little.
Do you play Pokemon for the trees? What's wrong with you?
But I kind of remember like so, and they always put the little thing in caption in the bottom, like it's not the final game footage. So I was like,
yeah.
So maybe like once it gets closer, maybe we might get a better idea if they did any updates or something. But I always remember like the first time it was like, okay, just don't get too deceived, because that's like the first thing people would see. Like, oh my god, this is like people are like, this is the worst thing I ever seen. It's not worth it.
Sword and Shield was beautiful in places too. Like I thought places. It was a little bland, but in that forest, the fairy forest, where it was like the neon colored mushrooms,
yeah.
that was my favorite. Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with Sword and Shield's graphics. Was it like a little generic at times? Sure,
yeah,
but it was more about the feeling. Like Nessa said, she was spending like hours upon hours in the wild area. Like that was the intent, to give you that freedom to say, hey, I'm just going to want to stay here for hours and catch 100 Pokemon before I get my first badge. Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to see. I know it's hard, Tyler, but I'm going to ask you for patience.
I'm incapable of that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm the host. Moving on. So, which leads us to our biggest surprise of the Pokemon Presents. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you who don't fully understand the gravity of this game, allow me to explain. Arceus is a god Pokemon, one of many, but is allegedly, depending on how you view the lore, the one who created the Pokemon world, or at the very least, Sinnoh. And despite this, despite the fact that he has a movie dedicated to him, he was only in the Pokemon game via a Toys R Us DS event. Look it up. It's there. But like Giratina, Palkia, Dialga, they all were in the game via their own, you know, titles. But Arceus, the actual god of Sinnoh, wasn't. It was just not there. So this is our chance to finally get to experience him in a game. And to add extra interestingness, and I actually bouncing off of what Tyler said earlier, we're going to get to see Sinnoh before it was Sinnoh. We're actually going to go about, what they say, like a couple, like 100 years or so before?
Right, like before the Pokemon world came to be.
Yeah. Like back when they were using wooden Pokeballs with timers or something like that. All right, and we're going to get to see like the true origins of Sinnoh when people were just starting to settle in the region and get to experience Pokemon in a whole new way as we get to actually fill the very first Pokedex of the region, and eventually we'll get to meet Arceus, apparently. I am excited for this. I know that someone else is not, but I am excited for this for the very simple reason that I think this is a very interesting new take on the Pokemon franchise. I think that this opens the gate to a lot of other Pokemon that we haven't seen in full or in a meaningful way in the Pokemon realm, like a Celebi. Or technically Mew, if you really think about it. Deoxys eventually got his due, but I still would like a game dedicated to him. And Zygarde, you know, there was supposed to be a Z, it didn't happen. And so I think this opens up a pathway to allow longtime Pokemon fans to experience these very special Pokemon that the main games never let us fight before or experience before. And that gets me very excited. And it looks like Pokemon Sword and Shield. Which I approve of. The you could tell in the trailer that it was a very unpolished version. Mm-mm. You could see like the jumping and the frame rates and
yep.
and the animations. And so I remind you, this is not the final version, and it's coming out next year. So remember that, Tyler. I'm watching you.
I'm not a hater on this one. I do think that the visuals are a little rough, but I appreciate what they're going for. It's Breath of the Wild. You know, they're doing the Breath of the Wild thing. A lot of people are doing the Breath of the Wild thing, but Pokemon is a great series to do that with. So I felt pretty good about this one.
Yeah. I also agree as well. Like when they first showed off the trailer, like obviously the alpha footage is, you got to see some janks. We're going to the open world because again, this is going to be the quote unquote first open world Pokemon game, which many people have been wanting all these years ago. And like actually going hide into grass, like, oh, how many times Pokemon have been hiding in the tall grass? Now I can hide in the tall grass and like throw Pokeballs to capture these Pokemon and battle in the same open world. open field where you catch them, which, okay, Pokemon battles right then and there, so, okay, interesting, good concept to begin with. And of course, naturally with the towns, which is, like, again, very, yeah, very Eastern base, very Japan base, and just, again, we're going to see much more of the lore, how it was being, basically a bit to see more of how the Pokemon world came to be, so... It definitely has some, definitely the alpha footage, it seems promising. Definitely a lot of good concepts they introduced here. And of course, naturally, the three starter Pokemon, Cyndaquil, help me out, guys.
Ocelot.
And
Rowlet?
Yeah, Rowlet. Yeah. So those three is going to be choosing. So, the okay, boy. We have some classic Pokemon to pick up from there. So.
Cyndaquil all the way. I am
oh,
so
no,
happy.
Get out.
I am the host. You get out.
No, you get
Cyndaquil for life. He's Cyndaquil. My favorite starter.
He's the most overrated Pokemon of all.
Oh, you shut your mouth! You shut your mouth!
I love Cyndaquil. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Keep proving my statement. I love it. Oh my gosh. You be quiet. No. You're just proving my point. Overrated.
Hey,
you're just proving why I'm the host, because I actually have taste. So, but Will, final thoughts before we move on to Nessa?
So overall, it has a lot of promise. So the fact that we have to wait next year, I mean, I'm not too pained about it. So yeah, just again, please, game companies, work on the games. If you need time, take all the time you need.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So this was the one that caught my attention when I saw the direct, because I did not expect, I did not expect this at all. I was like thinking like, oh, okay, cool. People got their Diamond Real remakes, and then when I heard about the Pokemon Legends, I'm like, oh, like screw Diamond and Pearl remakes. This I want.
Yeah.
That was my reaction, and I was not expecting that they're gonna try to do the whole Pokemon open world thing, because that was the one thing that people wanted so much of. So, and then I was kind of I love it how like I guess now like. You can like in the overworld, you could probably battle. It's not like the standard animation compared to like your when you do the Pokemon battles. It's like it's just kind of like staticky. It's kind of like more like you're more. It's like more involved from what I'm seeing. What I saw from the trailer. So I was liking a lot of the new things they're trying, and also like that. And then I was like, oh, they have a couple elements from Pokemon Go too, because you want. I think the girl in the trailer, she threw the Pokeball at the Pokemon.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so it looks like they're mixing in like quite a few things in there from what we know, and then trying it out in a new, spinning it out in a new way. So I am super excited. I'm not too bummed about the date. I was like, go ahead, just take your time. Take all your time in the world. We're not in a hurry. And also third of all, we weren't asking for this, like a spin-off game like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was expecting maybe by Gen 9 we were going to get something like this, but not now. So that was a big surprise.
This might set up Gen 9.
Yeah.
This could be their test run to say, hey, let's see what we can do.
That's what we were thinking, too.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
Oh, please go.
No, I'm super excited about this game. I can't wait. And so that was the one I was kind of like, I was like, come on, I can't wait to try it. Whenever it comes out next year, I'm good.
And 2022 is already shaping up pretty nicely. We got this game. We got Project Three Houses plus Knuckles. Sorry, Project Triangle Strategy. Like that's two games already that I'm already looking forward to heavily. So, yeah. All right. So then there was Post Malone. Everybody was wondering, including us on the podcast last week, how is this going to work? Like a virtual concert with Post Malone. How? I mean, we saw his animated form via the Pokemon 25 trailer, but like, how is this going to work in the large scale? And what we got was like 13 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it was 13 minutes.
A 13-minute concert of Post Malone singing his songs with him being in the Pokemon world and Pokemon flying around and interacting with him and everything. And
That's
it was creative.
Yeah, like I saw the entirety of it, and like, okay, the only thing that was pretty much interesting, like, sure, there's Post Malone and good songs there. I give props to Post Malone's songs here and there, but yeah, just like seeing him in the different biomes, like, who's that Pokemon? Do you see any Pokemon here? It's basically like spot that Pokemon. I see Charizard. I see like the water type. Oh, legendaries. Oh, there's Charizard. That was the only thing I was actually very more interested in than Post Malone's songs. Yeah. And the fact that I also had to censor some of the Post Malone songs because it's a little bit explicit, even in the Pokemon Company, which is like, geez, Pokemon Company, you didn't do your research about Post Malone?
Yeah.
I don't think they did.
No.
Yeah, so there's that. And like, unfortunately, like one of our staff members like says, like, geez, I had bathroom breaks longer than this quote-unquote concert. So, but overall...
That guy needs to go see a doctor.
So, like, yeah, the concert was fine enough as it is. And, like, again, celebration of Pokemon 25 years and just, like, seeing all these different things. Like, again, I'll give props to the CG, the presentation of it all. I mean, it definitely radiated good vibes. So, I'll give it that. It was pretty nice overall.
Tyler?
I did not watch it, so I have no thoughts. Also, the one thing I will say is Post Malone is a big star, so it probably costs a lot of money to get him to do this concert.
Probably.
And that's why it wasn't 2 hours.
Would you want to listen to it for 2 hours if you were a fan?
I do like Post Malone. Like Post Malone. I'm
congratulations.
A Post Malone appreciator.
Oh, no one got that joke? Fine. Be that way.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that was a joke. I know. Fine. Nessa? Did you watch the video?
I didn't see the entire thing. I kind of remember a lot of people were commenting about it. So then I remember I watched probably half of it, but then I got distracted because I have two dogs, so they want to go outside and I didn't watch them. So I couldn't pay attention to everything. But
nice.
I thought from what I watched though, it was pretty interesting. I guess I wasn't expecting to play some of the songs in there. The biggest one, I was like, Sunshine. I was like, oh, I recognize. I was like, I know this song, or I know this other song. I was like, I wasn't expecting that he was going to play it in the. But from what I seen, it was pretty cool, though. I couldn't really complain much. And also, too, I was just like, wow. I was like, wow, I'm surprised it's not that longer. But I'm pretty sure it was like you guys said, it was expensive. I'm pretty sure.
Well, not just to. Yeah, well, not just to get Post Malone, but then to do all the backgrounds. Because remember, like, they had that rotating biomes, as we'll know, to like that couldn't have been cheap to do. So,
right on that CG,
they also mentioned that Katy Perry was in it too. Or
yeah, Katy Perry, and then now confirmed J Balvin.
Yeah, J Balvin. They're
going to be the next ones to show up in a concert setting of some kind and more. So, if you thought this is as weird as it's going to get. Wrong, very very wrong. So, but hey, if they wanted to do this, like if Post Malone really is a big Pokemon fan, and he just wanted to help out for the 25th. Power to you. Okay, I could totally see Katy Perry as a Pokemon fan. Like not that hard.
No. Yep. I definitely can see that. Yeah.
Not that hard. If I was a musical artist, I would have totally been like, hey, can I help you out with this? I'll totally do this for like free. So.
Oh, J Balvin. I didn't know he was 85. Well, he's 35 years old. I was not expecting it, but when I saw the Colombian, I was like, well, I could see it because apparently I know like in Latin America, Pokemon was huge, everywhere in Latin America. Like I kind of remember Pokemon Mania was nuts. So I could see him. He probably more like I bet from the 90s, probably like what he remembers.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's an interesting Pokemon fact. Thank you, Nessa.
No, you're welcome. I was kind of part of the Latin America for a while, so I kind of recognize it.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. And from one direct to another, we had Mr. Sakurai Presents featuring Pyra and Mythra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2, who are apparently right now in Smash Brothers, I think.
Yep. It's currently out right now at the time of recording.
Okay, good. It was a little ambiguous for a bit. But yes, they are out right now, so you can go and play them. And then, of course, Sakurai broke down everything that was to do with these characters. And there was a lot in here that was actually very interesting. Pyra is our powerhouse character, and then Mithra is the speedster, and the difference between them is actually pretty substantial, as Mr. Sakurai showed, including Pyra almost doing twice as much damage in certain cases than Mithra, and yet Mithra lapping Pyra when it comes to how many times she can attack. So I found that very, very interesting. And even Sakurai was like, which one is better? It really just depends on how you play. So he picked Pyra, though. So, you know.
Yes, thank you, Daddy Sakurai, for picking Pyra. Thank you very much, Daddy
Sakurai.
That was so
funny. He goes, purely as a fighter. Purely. As
purely.
A
fighter. Yeah. Yeah. And then he looks at the statues. Yeah. Pyra.
I just want to go and point out again that, like, Daddy Sakurai, because, like, again, with all these different characters he brings in, he's obviously a very big fan, from Cloud to Sephiroth to, even Joker. Just, like, how much love he put into these characters naturally. Yeah. And, like, just, of course, naturally, over there in Japan, there's always that whole culture. Do you love the dere or the tsundere? Which a lot of people love their tsunderes a la Mithra. But personally, for me, I like Pyra. And so, yeah, there's that.
I'm fine with both. I like them only as fighters and video game characters, unlike
right.
A certain... Hey, don't lump me in with you, Will, okay? I only have anime waifus.
Oh, hey, like, as far as I'm concerned, I wear my heart on my sleeve, thank you very much. So, like, hey, you know, like, everything else. And even the fact that Daddy Sakurai also actually bought those that very expensive figurines, mind you, as a presentation. Like, again, that's dedication from him right there.
Yeah. I did want to note that I was actually a little disappointed that those weren't, like, Amiibo. Because I was like, I could tell by the stance that they weren't, but I'm like, are those like the prototype Amiibo? Because like those looked really good in detail. Like, I totally buy those. And he's like, no, I just bought these highly detailed statues. I'm like, okay. And then
for
I remembered. Like,
for
research. Yeah, totally just research. That's why he has them in a locked drawer. Daddy Sakurai.
That sure. Who is going to unlock the door that has the remaining fighter figurines?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to
break
in.
Yeah. See that? That's Sakurai actually set himself up for that because he said, "Oh yeah, they're locked in a drawer. Not that any of us can actually go to the office now. Some fan is going to get into that office and he's going to find Sakurai's drawer and he's going to take pictures of it just so we can find the last two, DLC characters. He'll only blame himself."
I mean, I know that like there are crazy fans out there, but who the heck would want to go into the Fort Knox, which is Sakurai's office? I mean, sure, Nintendo has always been a Fort Knox in Japan, so who the heck would be that crazy enough?
I would.
Yeah, have you seen Nintendo fans? have you seen video game fans?
Granted, yes.
I mean,
the characters look great, too.
They do.
They look, dare I say, overpowered? Like, it's too early. We haven't gotten to even play the characters yet.
I have.
Oh, are they out officially?
Yes, they're currently out right now. Yeah. And I guess I'll just briefly give my impressions because I actually did play a one run before the podcast. And gotta say, yeah, it is definitely a great difference. I mean, Pyra is slower, but again, obviously much more powerful, while Mithra is much more quicker, frame data much more faster. It's like, yeah, she's definitely the all around type. Doesn't hit hard, so you want to use Mithra as the damage output, while Pyra is basically the knockout punch. Is like, yeah, when you switch out the two of them, there is just like so much styles. You could definitely switch on the fly for different strategies and styles, because definitely Mithra's dodge foresight, very helpful. It is very helpful, so you can easily set up like different combos and then change quickly into Pyra's smash attacks, which they are very fun. So if you want to like change different strategies, definitely keep people on their toes, really cross it up. That's their main draw appeal of Pyra and Mithra. It's just like you can easily change up real quick.
Yeah, and even as Sakurai noted, even the final smashes are tailored to their abilities, where Pyra is a knockout blow, and Mithra's is you can do a lot of damage to a lot of characters at once if you hit enough of them. So there's going to be a lot of strategy that goes into this, which I think you'll find very appealing, Tyler, as you have with past Smash Brothers characters like Sephiroth and such.
Yeah,
so.
I think I might main Mithra, honestly. She looked incredibly, like, I always love the sword characters, but yeah, just a mixture of these two looked extremely extremely satisfying. The specials were a little underwhelming, but their kind of unique, like you said, strategy seems like they're going to stand out from the cast.
Wait a minute, you like the sword characters? Aren't there too many sword characters?
I see where the haters are coming from.
Haters!
I think there probably are, too, but I like the sword characters, yeah. So it's not my problem.
That's not my problem.
Yeah. Like, again, Mithra, the striker, while, Pyro's the powerhouse. Just, again, also with the deliveries, and it's just so much details, even from the stage and the music, they brought back, like, now, like, 20-plus music in the Xenoblade series as Sakurai presented.
Yeah.
It's just like, whoo, boy, great arrangements. And, of course, they also had some spoiler image, if you haven't played the game yet, which I know the characters, and the fact they actually have the original design to actually make official art for that quote-unquote hidden character, which is like, wow. It is beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and could you see how Sakurai was nerding out at that? He was just like, they didn't have official art, so we got to make it. I was like, it was so cool. So, like, see, even Sakurai's a fanboy. Like, that's why he makes this game so well. But there was a lot to appreciate. But my favorite bit of all was when Sakurai talked about the trailer.
Oh, yes.
Because he was like, you notice that this trailer kind of looked differently than all the others. And I'm like, yeah, it played really different. And he goes, that's because Monolith Soft made the CGI elements of the trailer, which is why a lot of us, mainly me, was thrown off by the reveal, because it looked like it was really in Xenoblade versus the more stylized or even hyper-realistic trailers that the Smash games have had, or the Smash trailers have had ever since Smash 4. So I loved that. And even Sakurai was like, you know, I liked having hands off. Like, this was fun. They did a really good job with this. And they did. So, I like that, you know, Sakurai was willing to say, hey, you want to make the trailer? You go ahead and make the trailer. So, that I really love that. That's just, again, those little details that just make it, like, all the better. I found a lot of contentment in that.
Indeed. Like, I think that what Microsoft really did well was obviously they didn't open it with the whole cross section. That's the obviously dead giveaway. And as you said, it just integrates with the story so well of the main game. It's like, I thought this, as many people said, they thought it was like a legit sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles 2 of that sort. So, it's like, I can only imagine if they're going to do it for the next last two characters, like, give it to the studios of the owners of those characters and see how those trailers would be. So I would love to see, again, like, how much love they put into, like, the character review trailers. Like with Monolith, what they did with Monolith.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to get the Fighter Pass 2. I haven't touched it yet just because I haven't had time or the urge to play Smash. But with Pyro Mithra there, yeah, I'm going to try at least. So, and then there's just the last two characters. What about you, Nessa? You didn't mention, are you a big Smash fan?
I have played Smash in the past though, but I'm actually not that good at it. So then I kind of fall behind a little bit when it comes to the Smash series.
It's all right. Don't play Tyler. he'll kill you.
Like,
I'm like a punching bag anyways. So.
I mean, I consider myself good enough, and then I fought Tyler, and I, like, never won a match one-on-one. He's like, picking a variety of characters and schooling me in all of them, and it's like, okay, this isn't fun.
Actually, one of my friends right now is doing, like, a Smash event right now on his Twitch channel. Yeah, because he was asking me, and I was like, I'm actually doing something first, and I promise I'll come visit when I'm done.
Actually, since we're on Smash, if you were to pick a character to bring into Smash, who would you want to bring?
Who I would want to bring?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, that's for a good question. We have two slots left for the DLC. So if you were the one picking it, who would you want to bring in?
Oh man. I remember the longest time though. I'm surprised they never put in like from the Kingdom Hearts, like Roxas or Sora. They always kept saying that. They always kept telling, like, I was like, it makes sense, but.
Yeah.
Well, I believe they, like, has been talked already, but again, Disney doesn't want to play. That's kind of the main caveat right there.
Lame.
Stupid Disney.
Yeah, they're ruining everything.
Yep, they are.
I mean, just look at WandaVision, right, Tyler?
So WandaVision?
I haven't watched it, so that's why I could make that joke. But, all right, so Sora, Sora, me and Tyler definitely want Sora in the game. How about anyone else that you feel would fit in Smash Brothers really well?
I can't think of any other characters. Like,
could be another Pokemon rep if you want.
I was like, we have enough. I'm like, enough of Pokemon.
Yeah.
I was like, If Pokemon wise, I could see Cinderace. Because he's like kind of like a soccer bunny, but he's kind of like, but he's kind of, I was like, but he's pretty much pretty a good kicking type of like in fighter, to be honest, in that game.
I think he'd be a good pick, actually, of all the starters that they could still put in. I would be towards the top of my list as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I could see him, and also I think, and then when I watched him in the anime, because he kind of could flips and everything, and I was like, I could see him in Smash.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I'm very curious to see who the last two characters are, because you know, because we've had an even split so far, first party and third party. So now the question is, you know, who's gonna end it? And I don't know. And I was like, when Sakurai even said, "Hey, we got only two characters left," and I can't wait to talk to you about the next one. I'm like, is he gonna say something? Is he gonna tease anything? He didn't. Darn it, Sakurai. I know they told us they weren't going to, but it's just like, he's like, we only have two characters left. I can't wait to talk to you about the next one. I'm like, wait, what do you think?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't give us hope.
Yeah, there you go. All right, and so finally, for our main event, as you recall, last Saturday was Pokemon Day, post Malone and all. So we thought that we should take a look back at the franchise and ask the deep questions. No, not the question of, you know, best characters, best Pokemon, best games, best battle systems. No, we need to ask the deep questions. The question of what is the worst of the Pokemon franchise? What is the worst Pokemon that they have ever created? The abominations that make us look at it and go, why is that in our Pokedex? That's right. It's time for a special modified version of Nintendo, what Nintendo's done wrong with things Pokemon has gone wrong. So, here's the rules. We have 8 generations. It could be variants. It could be original versions. The only Pokemon you cannot pick is Magikarp, because everybody hates Magikarp. Everybody. It's not even close. We get Magikarp just to get Gyarados. End of story. Okay? The best thing that Magikarp ever did was the Magikarp jump game and that incredibly insane Pokemon Journeys episode where it jumped into space. Look it up. It happened.
Against Goldie.
It was so good. And then Ash did the narration. He's like, what are you, the narrator? Like, what was that episode? I don't know. But
that was so funny to me.
It was a great episode. But anyway, can't pick Magikarp. Everyone else is on the table. So Nessa, as our guest, tell us, what is your worst Pokemon ever?
My worst Pokemon ever?
Yeah.
I was looking some of these mons up, and then I kind of remember, like, one of them I was not too much a fan of. Hoopa's design. And then his evolved form.
That's a good, it's an interesting pick.
Because I guess, like, obviously they're trying to make him as a genie for probably their take, though. But I kind of remember like the Hoopa movie was one of the few movies I did not like. and his evolved form was even worse. Because he kind of had like tons of these arms that look kind of creepy to me. And then he has like a creepy smile. Like he looks like if you probably saw him, he could probably stalk you or something. But he kind of gives you these weird, creepy vibes. Like, so he's not exactly my favorite Pokemon design. It took me a bit to figure it out because I was going through them and I was like, I've never been a fan of Hoopa, the Hoopa line, to be honest.
Yeah, I honestly forgot about Hoopla. I remember that movie and that was an interesting one. Like, it couldn't get through its own rings. And then, of course, the power of friendship was what let him get through to save Ash and everything. Because, of course, he has a connection with Ash. Of course he does. So, but yeah, Hoopla, Hoopla. That was and just a name, Hoopa. Like, Hoopa and Hoopla, like such creativity, Pokemon Company. Like, really?
Yeah. Okay. Just looking at that Pokemon, like, okay, yeah, is that Cheshire grin? Is that definitely like has that like off-putting appeal? Like that grin, of course. That, I mean, unfortunately, these are new Pokemon. I am so old; I have no idea what these Pokemon are. So forgive me, but yeah, just like looking at this design is like. That face value is like, okay, I mean, sure, genie, fine, but I can definitely see like why it would be a little off-putting.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so Nessa, go ahead and get another Pokemon in your head. So we'll move on for now, though. Tyler, I'm very curious about this one. What's one of your least favorite Pokemon ever?
So, listen, you are the host. We all know this. We all acknowledge this. But you drop the ball with the Magikarp thing because everybody likes Magikarp. Like, nobody doesn't like Magikarp.
I don't like Magikarp.
You're the only person who doesn't like Magikarp. Magikarp is awesome. Unlike the actual worst Pokemon, which is Magikarp without any of the charm, Feebas.
It's
ugly. It's just worse than Magikarp in every way. It doesn't have Magikarp's character. It doesn't have sure, it evolves into a cooler Pokemon than Gyarados, but Feebas, to me, is... It's not even lovable. Like Magikarp is a lovable loser. Feebas is just... there's no redeeming quality.
That's it.
Like, details. Any details? Reasons why?
Yeah. Look at it. Just look at it. It's an ugly looking Pokemon.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of things that weigh 16.3 pounds, and
what?
It happens to weigh 16.3 pounds.
Also the big lips.
Yep. Oh, the lips. Yeah.
Terrible. And then like the color scheme does not help.
Eyes. It's an ugly, terrible.
I know what they were going with here. They were basically doing like a more feminine version of Magikarp, where we get Milotic, who's just very beautiful.
Where did he get feminine out of
listen to the words I am telling you. Okay, because we go from... Because Magikarp evolves into Gyarados, which is obviously a very intimidating Pokemon, versus Milotic, which is very elegant, regal, and many think that it's like one of the most beautiful Pokemon ever. And it's like, that's what I was going for there. Because, Gyarados is like kind of masculine, intimidating, versus Milotic, which is more female divine.
Beauty and the Beast, basically.
Beauty and the Beast, there you go.
Oh, Milotic is pretty intimidating. It's,
well, yeah, when you're getting Hyper Beam to death.
I
think my thing with Feebas is, unlike Magikarp, which, it's definitely not the worst design ever. I will never say that. But it's easy to evolve Magikarp. You just have to level up the son of a gun. With Milotic, or with Feebas, you have to make it feel pretty, because you have to like feed it the berries and like give it like the stat boosts or whatever, and like it only through like that very complicated series of events and then leveling up do you get it to evolve into Milotic. It's just like, okay, that's just weird.
That's
like,
a great point.
Thank you.
Like back in my day, we didn't have to worry about beauty stats and contests right there. We just had to level up and they would become intimidating or beautiful. But now we gotta give these berries and all that.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of one of my big complaints with Sword and Shield was that they had so many Pokemon that had these uber-specific evolution things.
Right.
Farfetch'd needing 3 critical hits in one battle to get to Sirfetch'd. Or the Galarian variant of Yamask, where you had to injure it just enough and then take it to a certain area and then have it evolve. Like, how am I supposed to know that in real time? So, Feebas was like the precursor to that. So I guess we can blame Feebas for a lot. Thanks a lot, you dumb fish. I feel better now. Will, by all means.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as the OG, I had to go look through a list of all these different Pokemon from these different generations, like you younger people out there. And from the one Pokemon that I just got to say, what is this? I mean, we have seen some pretty crazy design Pokemon to the animated, to the inanimate. And this one, I just gotta say, Klefki? Klefki. I mean, like, okay, you gotta try to go with the pun of kleptomaniac, I'm sure, and then the keys, but it is literally a keychain Pokemon, what it says. And, like, it drives intimidation attackers with jingling its keys. What? I mean, like, that's something that you expect from, I don't know, a parent would try to, like, distract a kid, like, jingling your keys in front of a kid or baby. I don't know what the heck, but the fact that this thing is actually used in the world of Pokemon as a bank, like, to basically hold, collect different keys, like, what? I mean, like, I get it that Pokemon Company has to go in different ideas. Okay, we got Chandelure, we have a literal teacup as a Pokemon.
Oh, that's stupid.
And of course, we have a Shortcake as a Pokemon. But a keychain, as a Pokemon.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what is this? I mean, sure, it may not be, like, I don't know. Can you really call a keychain ugly? I don't have no idea. But, like, it's just like, what? I'm just boggled. I'm just absolutely boggled with Klefki.
Yeah, that one. It doesn't have an evolved form?
No, it's just a single metal fairy. No. Like, okay. A fairy, metal fairy type, which is all like, right. Okay, what is this? It's just like a kind of like a mascot thing, like be at the banks, and that's it. It's just a metal fairy type, which one of the more smaller Pokemon compared to like Diglett and everyone else. But a metal fairy type, okay, that's unusual, sure. And it probably has like some interesting moves, like with Hyper Beam in its arsenal list. But again, Klefki, a keychain. Yeah. What?
Yeah. Yeah, that one is pretty stupid. All right, so for mine, I'm pretty sure everyone agrees on this. The worst generation of Pokemon ever. Gen 1. I'm kidding. Gen 1's awesome. Gen 5, Unova. That region had so many dumb Pokemon. Many people thought, is this the end of Pokemon? Because clearly they ran out of ideas. But I am looking at the one that I feel is the stupidest of all. Worse than Feebas, because at least that one had a point. You can get to my low tick through that thing. All right. Klefki was dumb. Isn't that Unova or is that Sinnoh?
That's Kalos. Or I think it's
Kalos.
Gen 6. Gen 6.
Oh, that was Kalos. Yeah. Crap. Fine. But that one was bad. But no, Gen 5, Vanillish, and Vanillux. It's ice cream Pokemon. Why? Why? If this was a one-off, I could give it a pass. I could try, at least. But no. I take that back. There's three of them. There's Vanillite, Vanillish, and Vanillux. It's a chain. It's a small ice cream cone, a bigger ice cream cone, and then two ice cream cones stuck together. Why?
For some reason, I was thinking you were going to say a different Pokemon in Gen 5.
Okay, who'd you think I was going to say?
The Trubbish.
Oh, Trubbish and Garbodor, they're stupid, but at least they're stupid by design. Like, I'm sure, because they're like, hey, let's have a trash Pokemon. Yeah, sure, why not? But, like, with Vanillish, they have no excuse. They're like, what's an ice Pokemon that we can make that might be interesting? Hey, let's make one off of an ice cream cone! Why?
Yeah, I'm looking at the design right now. Like, an ice cone base with cream on top, and, like, basically, okay, yeah, one scoop on top of like a very sample cup you see in like Baskin Robbins, and then you have the ice cone, and then you have a double scoop with ice cream you expect from the ice cream trucks you see going in the summer. Like, okay, and apparently that whole straw thing apparently emits ice breath. I don't know what.
Yeah, and then they don't even hide that this is ice cream. If the official Pokemon or Pokedex thing for Vanillux says Vanillux is a two-headed Pokemon covered in a swirled white substance that resembles ice cream. They're not even trying to hide it! They're like, yeah, we made an ice cream Pokemon. We're sorry. You should be sorry! You should be. Like, look at all the great ice Pokemon. Glalie, Piloswine, Sneasel, Abomasnow, Krygon. Okay, Krygon's kind of stupid, I won't lie. Beartick. Alright. You know, so on and so forth. Articuno. Like, great ice Pokemon. And then we have ice cream cones. Really?
The middle one that only has the middle evolution one, though. He looks kind of creepy. He looks kind of like his facial expression. Kind of like, so stupid.
Yeah, and then
like,
let's not...
He's like, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Ice cream. But hey, and then here's the big question here. And this is a question that's honestly been asked about a few Pokemon. In its final evolution in Vanillux, why are there two of them together? Like, how? Like, did they do a fusion dance and it just went wrong? All right, isn't that supposed to last for just 30 minutes? Like, I'm looking at a two-faced ice cream cone and I don't know why!
It just kind of goes into that whole deep dark circle, that deep rabbit hole of Pokemon. Like, do people eat Pokemon? Do people eat these ice cream Pokemon?
Yep.
Like, there's that whole dark lore of Pokemon which people have explored into. But like, yeah, just the these different Pokemon. Like, again, we talk about inanimate objects. We talk about like little food items. And again, we talk short cream, ice cream, shortcakes. It's like, what are they doing?
It's just, I don't know. I hate that Pokemon. And then they brought it into the anime. Like, it was one of the rivals of Iris's characters, because of course they wanted to kill a dragon type, and Ice is like one of the weaknesses. Yeah, Georgia. Like, she had one. She had that in the Blade Pokemon, the one that's all like swords. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so Iris would freak out every time Vanillish would come out, and I'm like, yeah, you should be, because that thing's stupid. It's like, come on, man, do better. Be better! Alright, so I think we have time. Let's do one more round. Worst Pokemon ever. Nessa, what you got for round two?
I press, I'll go back all the way to the OG first gen.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure most people are like, I might agree with me, but I'm not the biggest fan of Jinx. For obvious reasons.
Oh.
Okay. That's fair.
Well, obviously before the color changed, though, like I guess like it used to be black. I kind of remember when I was back then, though. It was still kind of weird and just like weird and like this weird design, because they have these big hands and then they're coming with the big lips and everything, and they kind of obviously it was. Some people were not too happy about it overall, I think it was banned for. I think that this Pokemon was banned for a few years until
four
it finally
time, yes,
changed the color.
Yeah.
And then it was also in a banned episode with
Brian. With Christmas as well. It was episode. Yeah.
It looks like, but yeah, now looking to the newer design, it looks like they polished it up. But then I kind of remember the older design was kind of like, it's like, yeah, I was not a fan of the original design, and I gotta like looking at it now. I was like, it looks like they did some changes, but it still kind of creeped me out.
granted, like yeah, back when the beginning of Pokemon and seeing Jinx that black and that shadow. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think again that face is basically supposed to be representing a shadow going to the hair and all that. They couldn't actually see a face, but yeah, that thing obviously during the time, of course, with Dragon Ball Z, Mr. Popo. That's the closest resemblance I got with Jinx, because again it reminds me of Mr. Popo, but like yeah, we're going to that Pokemon, like I didn't get the whole political context from that, but like okay, so that's the whole connection right there. So but I don't know, for me I enjoyed that forbidden episode of Christmas with the Jinx and a Santa, which okay, it was a cute episode, which I still remember when they showed it during Kids WB, that's what I remember. But so yeah. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, of course, naturally, you see him in Pokemon Snap and just seeing that. So, I mean, granted, the whole feminine form, and you didn't see, like, was it kind of like one of the original feminine form Pokemons?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's. I think that's why it threw so many people off, because, like, this was a Pokemon that looked like a human and wasn't trying to hide it in certain ways. So, It was based off of Succubus. Okay, like, that's why it has, like, the lips and the form and everything. It was based off of a Succubus.
Okay, interesting lore.
I don't judge. Yes, I do, because I'm the host. But like, yeah, Jinx was, yeah, and then they tried to cute her up with the pre-evolve form,
Smoochum,
which Smoochum. That was adorable. Like that was adorable enough.
That
and it's like,
agree.
How did Smoochum go into that?
Smooch is super, super cute though. Yeah, yeah. I always wondered the same thing. Like, well, how did it go to that?
When backpedaling has the opposite effect.
So... Like, no, go back.
Like, yes. Or stay the cute form forever.
There you go. It's like, Everstone. Give it the Everstone. So yeah. Tyler.
Yes.
Give me your second worst design ever.
It's Mime Jr.
It's, really?
Yes. Yeah, speaking of like on those baby type Pokemon, Mime Jr. does not cut it. It's just Mr. Mime again. Similar line of thought with the Magikarp. Like Mr. Mime, weird Pokemon, but there's some charm to it. You know, it's got a little bit of creativity. Mime Jr. is just a cop out. It's just like a little, you know, little blobby looking thing.
Okay.
And I'm not crazy about it. Now I'm simple. I'm a simpleton when it comes to Pokemon. I go 100% by looks on whether or not I like the Pokemon. And Mime Jr. just doesn't do it for me. I'm just not a fan. It looks like an ice cream flavor that I wouldn't like.
Really? Because yeah, I call mine Vanillish.
He definitely looks like a strawberry cherry type, if anything else. Just look at it. Yeah, like, he's that just the type eyes. Pokemon with yeah. with the hat. Like, yeah, that the hat king's like, okay, a little bit of suggestive design on the hat thing. So there's that. So, but yeah, Ms. Mime Jr. is that Pokemon, which, yeah, like, okay, kind of cute, but I can definitely see why people would be a little put off. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, this is another one of those Pokemon where it's like, how did it evolve into Mr. Mime?
Okay.
Because, like, so first of all, Mr. Mime doesn't have the hat. So it's like, well, that's kind of weird. And then, you know, Mr. Mime is a mime. Like, that's the point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for this one, I don't get the mime vibe. It's Mime Jr., not really. So,
I remember it. I was like, I kind of remember mostly Mime Jr. from James from Team Rocky.
Yeah, James had him.
And yeah, like his. That's what I kind of remember. I didn't find Mime Jr. dead. Yeah.
James gets some of the weirder Pokemon, like the ones you don't expect, like Chimecho and Mime Jr. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, it's like, if you're gonna give it to James, sure, I guess so. Fine.
He had an episode I remember I watched like sometime last year because I started. I was trying to re-rank my favorite Pokemon episodes, but basically I ended up putting it to the side for the longest time. But I actually rewatched it last year. It was like Sweet Baby James, I think it was called.
Okay.
And it was actually a pretty emotional episode because this was the episode when James left his mind. I think he left his Chimecho behind, and then he ended up gaining Mime Jr.
Yeah,
and I was like, and I actually found it really cute though. But I was just like, damn, I was like, I didn't realize James has like the more emotional episodes. Like, I almost forgot about that episode. But
yeah, Pokemon hits you deep when you don't expect it, man.
Yep.
That Serena episode where she loses the contest and then changes her look, like that is forever one of my favorites because that inspired me to be better because she wanted to be better. So it's just like Pokemon, man, it'll get you. So. All right, Will, what's your second worst Pokemon design?
Okay, I just had to go through the list again, and we're going Alolan this time.
Ooh.
Comfy.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, you based it on, okay, you're trying to go based on the Hawaiian flower reef.
Oh,
okay, fine.
That's what it is.
But really, Comfy? And like, okay, it's basically the same thing we're going to, I even forgot the Pokemon I said before. Like, yeah, it's just, like, again, with these inanimate, yeah, Klefki, and then Comfy, like, okay, I get it, you're trying to go with whole word puns with Pokemon names now, but Comfy, we're going to a flower type? Okay, and the fact it attacks you with flowers.
Flowers.
I actually forgot about this Pokemon.
Oh, then you're gonna love mine when I get to it.
So, like, yeah, like, okay, it's definitely on the type of the lazy type, and just like, again, a flower type Pokemon that just like, do you wear it or is it supposed to live on its own? Like, what is it supposed to be?
I don't know.
So, yeah, that's kind of like my other type. Like, yeah, Clefki, Comfy, yeah, all these different inanimate objects now having life and sentient beings. It's like. Okay, Pokemon Company. Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, that one's pretty lame. Okay, I'm going for one that I guarantee none of you remember. Okay, I know. Here, I'll give you a hint. It's a ghost type Pokemon. It's from Sinnoh. No, anybody? Okay, it's Spirit Tomb.
Miss Magius. Oh,
no.
Quiet. I was gonna say Miss Magius too, actually.
No. That was a weird Pokemon too, but no, it's Spirit Tomb.
That's a good one. That Pokemon stinks.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, and you're like, well, why? And I'm like, first of all, just look at this dumb thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Like,
yeah,
look at, like, what is it? And then you read the Pokemon entries, and look, if you actually read the Pokedex, it gets pretty freaky at times. Like, in that, when you mix it with the manga, which does not hold back, and like the horror of Pokemon at times, there's some freaky stuff going on in the world of Pokemon. And this is like one of the weirdest ones. Look at the diamond one. A Pokemon that was formed by 108 spirits. It is bound to a fissure in an odd keystone. Okay, but that's not the worst part. Okay, here's the one from Platinum. Its constant mischief and misdeeds resulted in it being bound to an odd keystone by a mysterious spell. So this is either a spirit Pokemon that somehow got bound to a keystone on its own, or it was cursed to be in a keystone for all of eternity. What?
I can definitely see some like cultural lore behind it, because I know there's like some in Japanese myth that actually has something similar to that. So I can definitely see some cultural relevance to that one.
That may be true, and I mean, there's always the whole, oh, this is like a reference to this, that, and the other thing. I don't care. It looks stupid. And what Pokemon trainer, even someone like Go, who catches everything with a single throw, would want to catch this Pokemon? A, it's freaky. B, it's weird. C, it's apparently a cursed object / Pokemon thing. And it's just like, why? It's a singular Pokemon. It doesn't have an evolutionary chain. It's a singular thing. And it's, again, it's either a bunch of spirits cursed to a stone or a random bunch of spirits that just happen to become a Pokemon. How? And it's apparently at least 500 years old. So, okay. Sure.
It's definitely interesting. Yeah, the appearance is definitely like, yeah, very off-putting with the whole zigzaggy mouth, like, if you can call it a mouth, and then the eyes, the spiral eyes, like, yeah, that thing is creepy. You don't want to see this thing in the middle of the night aside from, like, I don't know, hoot and all that. But yeah, just looking at this thing is, yeah, it's off-putting. It's like that design, that whole purple mist, like, of course that's gotta ring some warning bells. Like, who on earth would want to go near to this thing? Like, yeah. It just screams, it triggers my warning bells. Like, yeah, doesn't this thing's a spirit tomb?
Yeah.
Doesn't that trigger any red flags for you?
Yeah. And let's talk about the name. It's a pun. It's like, it's because it shares the T. Spirit tomb. Really? You couldn't think of anything better than that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying I would think of one right now because I just don't want to think about this Pokemon more than I have to. But like, spirit tomb. Really? Ugh. It's like, now Pokemon Company, I know you're listening to this, because obviously you are, clearly. And I know you're thinking, oh, these guys are just hating on us. No, it's not that. We love Pokemon. We love Pokemon so much, that's why I brought Nessa on, because I know she was a big fan like I am. We're not hating you for making these Pokemon. We want you to do better. We look at you and go, you have such a great Pokemon. We want you to do better. And so help us, if you do make another Pokemon as dumb as these ones, we will come and find you. We know where you are. It's you're not hard to look up. We just got to look up the Pokemon Company. You know, we'll find you. It's easy enough. Because, like, look, you've had your buffer. You've had your MacGuffins. You've had your Mulligans. All right? Enough. Enough with the dumb Pokemon, okay? Do better or don't make them at all. All right, I want to catch them all, but not when they're like Spirit Tomb and Love Disc and Klefki and Trubbish and everything. I will pass on catching them all just so I don't have to look at those Pokemon. All right, you've been warned. All right, you've been warned. All right, and with that, we end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we did not have a poll question.
Ah, okay. Then,
not totally sure, but yes, totally sure. We didn't have a poll question.
Which means he didn't have the Twitter up again, and he's just like scrambling to make sure he didn't miss anything. All right, so for this one, let's keep a Pokemon theme for Pokemon Day, and let's go. What was your favorite part of the Pokemon Day / week experience? Was it the concert with Post Malone? Was it hearing about Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, Pokemon Legends, or are you just happy to be a Pokemon fan? Oh, or Pokemon Go. I'm pretty sure they had big events on the day. There you go, Pokemon Go.
And just for a quick breaking news update, because actually the voting gauntlet is currently concluded, and everyone here is going to be getting a free Lynn Duel hero.
Oh, come on! I wanted Seros! How did Seros lose? It's such bullcrap.
It was a close match, because it was actually dead even. It was like just at the end, at the last hour, so yeah.
Lame! Anyway. But and of course, we want to thank our new friend here on NEP, Nessa Vanessa. Thank you so much for being on the show today and showing off your Nintendo and Pokemon pride.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on for today.
Would you like to come back in a future episode?
If I have like my slots open, I wouldn't mind.
All right. Then. Well, we will happily welcome you back. All right. So let us know what you thought of everything that's been going on in the week, including the Pokemon Presents. What did you think of the Diamond and Pearl remastering announcement? What do you think about Pokemon Legends? Are you more excited for Pokemon Snap now? Have you tried out Pyra and Mythra? And if you did, what did you think? Are they going to be some of the characters you try out for a while? And of course, what are your least favorite Pokemon designs? So, for Nessa Vanessa, Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!